Well, throughout the day here, we have been reflecting on the need to praise the Lord and the joy of thanksgiving, a very important spiritual truth. However, it's very easy for us to fall into the natural trap of just the warm and wonderful thoughts that come at Thanksgiving time. It is a holiday, and it is a time in which we give thanks for the things that God has done for us, and all of that is important. But if you look closely at the truth of thanksgiving, it goes far deeper than that. That's why in the hour of prayer, 5 minutes are given to thanksgiving. However, if you think about it, the first 5 minutes are praise for who God is. The second 5 minutes is the matter of yielding to God and in the Trinity for who God is. And then the final 5 minutes, we praise the Lord in song and final commitment to the Lord. So what happens to that time, 20 minutes of the 60 minutes, as rightly should be, are on the matter of genuine thanksgiving and praise to our God. It is part of our relationship with the Lord. If we are not God-focused and we do not respond to His greatness and His person, then our prayer time with Him is going to be self-serving. It's going to be shallow. It's not going to have the ultimate purpose. Now, what is the ultimate purpose of man? To give glory to God. And that's the essence of thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we all know this well, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to Him whom be glory forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. The thanksgiving of the people there in Jerusalem for the gift that would come from the Macedonian Corinthian church would cause there to be thanksgiving, which would redound to the glory of God. So the essence of thanksgiving really gets down to our proper understanding of the place that we are in as His creature, as His redeemed ones, as His children, in truly glorifying Him, putting Him through our lives and through our praise in the place that He ought to be as our Almighty God. So turn with me, keeping that in mind, to a very well-known passage that we often talk about with thanksgiving, Hebrews 13. Last chapter of Hebrews. We looked at chapter 11 this morning, but Hebrews chapter 13 tonight as we reflect on this matter of thanksgiving. A couple of very important verses when it comes to understanding the genuine purpose and character of praise of thanksgiving. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Those verses need to go together. There are a number of elements. We'll just touch on these tonight. But this matter of praise is not just lightly thanking God that He's taken care of us. We need to do that. It goes far deeper into the core of our being in response to who He is as God. So the very first thing we'll see here at the beginning of verse 15 is that praise is not something that we can just do humanly. We need the power to be able to praise. So the first point is power for praise. Looking again at verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer. Now back up, if you would, to verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Jesus suffered for us by His own blood without the gate, so that we could be sanctified, so that we could have all that we have as a believer. and it is by Him, through Him, through His power, we are then able to praise God as we should. Just like we say, without His power, we don't really have genuine compassion and love. We really can't. We don't have the capacity. We can have good warm feelings and so forth and benevolent feelings, but we cannot sacrificially love. In the matter of having courage and zeal, these are things that are supernaturally empowered. To genuinely pray, we need to pray in the Spirit. And so it is with praise. Genuine praise that will be truly to the glory of God will be empowered by the Spirit of God on the because of Christ, and that grace will enable us to be able to praise God as we should. So it's not just some act that we go through. It's not some religious time that we just praise the Lord. It is genuinely a heart-dependent exercise in which God enables us to praise Him in a way that glorifies Him and accomplishes our deep purpose as believers. And so the power of Christ is the key. So therefore, it's like we mentioned this morning, and we've mentioned several times, whenever you talk about faith, whenever you talk about looking for God's grace, it's always an act of the will. It is not natural for the flesh. Now, Ephesians 5:18, you don't need to turn there, you know the verse. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then the next verses give us the wonderful consequences, the ramifications of a Spirit-filled Christian. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are those mainly about? Who God is. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a spiritual reality, being filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we have in both of those great verses the fact that tied to being spiritually filled under the control of the Spirit of God, we are enabled to have that melody in our heart and those songs and those hymns to be able to exalt our God and to have that come as sweet incense before the Lord as we praise Him. And we glorify Him, and then to give thanks in everything, which means that we are fully trusting that God will do right in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 will be quoted much during this season. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the very next verse is, quench not the Spirit. So it is a supernatural ability that God gives us to praise. That's why when we instruct on the matter of the hour of prayer, anytime you pray, what should be your first prayer? Spirit of the living God, enable me to do what I cannot do. Don't we cry out that when we knock on a door to give the gospel, Lord, help me? Or anything like that, you get in a situation, you need God's empowering, His quickening, His wisdom. Well, so it is with the matter of thanksgiving. The very first thing we do when we go to prayer is to praise Him. Lord, enable me. And I have sensed so often when I'm praying, when I cry out to Him, there all of a sudden the Spirit of God brings me into unity with who God is, and those wonderful attributes come alive as only God can do it. So that's very important. So, power for praise. Now let's look at the matter of the practice of praise. Let's go back to verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer praise. You said it. The sacrifice of praise. That's a whole lot different. And this is something that's often missed. The sacrifice of praise to God, continually. Now, you notice the verses that I have quoted about thanksgiving. Giving thanks, it's always, in everything, always. I mean, it's repeated on regular occasions. This matter of praise, folks, is an attitude of the heart, not just a Thanksgiving season. It's not just your first few minutes of your prayer time. It is an attitude toward God in which we understand who we are and who He is, and that we so glorify Him that the decisions of our will that we make in our life are that which speak to His greatness, speak to our need of Him, and that our lives are all about glorifying Him. Now, folks, this is very important. True worship, true glorification of God, true praise is an ongoing life. It's a genuine sacrifice. We're not talking about good feelings. No, it's wonderful to thank the Lord. But this goes deeper than that. It's the same phrase that was used in the thanksgiving offering in Leviticus. Leviticus 7:12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and so on, the instructions are given. And so in this, this was taken from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and the translation of the Hebrew Masoretic text is calves of our lips, directly referring to the sacrifice that is made for our praise to God. Folks, when you read the Old Testament sacrificial system, for us that live in a non-agriculture agrarian society, for the most part, some may be working in agriculture, we don't understand, especially from their perspective back in ancient days, what the sacrifice of one bullock meant. It would be like driving your car to the front door, and it's a fairly new car, and you're saying, have it, you know. It was a big part. Did you know that a good dowry for a good wife was a cow? You know, I mentioned that last week. See, you laughed with me last week, but I mean, that's a big deal, you know. And if your dad gave up a new car for you, you know, that was free. That wasn't part of the message. But the idea is, my whole point is, it's a sacrifice. And so what we're talking about here is a sacrifice of our lips, the sacrifice offered, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, out of a heart that is fully yielded to God and willing to do anything that God wants. We are praising Him for who He is, who we are, and the glory we have of serving Him. I'm sure the Lord appreciates any thanksgiving, but thanksgiving from a self-willed believer who is not really yielded doesn't mean much. Think about how many times you hear in the prophets how God was not impressed with the offerings of Israel. That's mentioned over and over and over. I don't want the offerings. I want your heart. And so that is really what this is referring to. And so, through the power of the Spirit, we are able to praise God because we trust Him and we have yielded our lives and we believe that He is working everything together. We have a free heart, giving thanks for everything, even the trials, because our purpose is to sacrifice for His cause. Now, what are some areas of sacrifice? Well, we need to get down to the fact that we can trust Him to meet our needs as we surrender our lives to Him. When you are living a faith life and you are doing what God wants you to do, does He meet your needs? He meets your needs in a very definite way, in a miraculous way. And that causes us then, as we have sacrificed to serve Him, He then makes provision, and in turn we're able to say, Lord, thank you. As I've surrendered, you have met my need. That causes me to want to surrender more. And so the sacrifice of our lips is just praising God for the fact that He will take care of those who are truly depending upon Him. It has the idea of sacrificing even sometimes people's lives to confess His name. We have no trouble praising God in most situations that we're in. You do that in Iran, you could have a real problem. You praise the Lord in an ISIS camp? Hebrews, you praise the Lord in some of the settings that are there, you're going to pay a price. That's going to be the sacrifice of your lips. Now, are we willing in an appropriate way with people that are close to us that are either not saved or not right with God to declare what a great God we have to them, even if it may mean some negative consequences? You know, one of the great tools that the Spirit of God uses is obvious joy and thankfulness in the life of a Christian who's walking with the Lord, and they want to make God look good because God has been so good to them. And that reality, that glow in the face, that thankfulness for all that the Lord has done is often a powerful tool to ignite a need in another person's heart for the gospel. But before that person may come to the gospel, that the other person who prays the Lord might suffer a little bit with ridicule, pushed off, or whatever. And so that's loyalty to the Lord. When the world began to decline and go away from the Lord, after the flood in particular, we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. They wouldn't thank God for God's ways, and they were not thankful. And so it really gets down to a heart attitude. Are we willing to praise the Lord because we have not gone the world's way to get our needs met through debt and other things, but we instead allow him to work? Are we living for men's acclaim, or are we thrilled about seeing our spiritual gifts glorify God by miraculous things happening? Are we meeting our needs through regular entertainment, recreation, and social life, and all those things can be good, or are we meeting our needs with the joy of fellowship with the Lord? You know, on and on I could go. I'll just give you some of the contrast there. But the sacrifice of praise is where our lives are committed to him and we're seeing him do things because our purpose in life is his glory and his purpose fulfilled, and God is intervening. Isn't it exciting to hear somebody talking about, look what God did. As I was endeavoring to minister here, or I did this, God came in and met the need. And as he's been chastening or giving me trials, as I've responded to him, God has turned this to good. Those things people listen to. That's great praise. That's sacrifice of praise. See, you can't really praise God about supernatural intervention in big things if you're not yielded to him. You can be thankful for your health. You can be thankful for all the sweet things that God does. But to talk about God intervening, talk about God meeting the need of someone, talk about God doing a miracle and seeing someone saved, God changing people through discipleship, God working through some sacrifice that you made, or your God working to change your life, that only is able to be expressed as you have sacrificed, as a living sacrifice, your body to him, and he has been able to intervene and work in your life. That just stirs me as much as anything does when I see people part of seeing God do something. It's more than just his sweet care, and we need to thank God for that. But God moved. God did something. God intervened. God did a miracle. God answered that prayer. God empowered me. God delivered me. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you, all it would take is about two or three of those kind of testimonies right now, and this atmosphere would be charged. Isn't that right? Any kind of setting, two or three, four people start talking about God did a miracle here. God answered. God working. And it's all because that person is living right at that moment in the center of God's will. That's great praise and glory. And who gets the glory? God does. Everybody knows it. So the point is, this needs to be the kind of life we live so that we can have the sacrifice of praise continually. I got a great God. This is amazing. I'm learning and growing. As I've taken a step of faith, God did this. But there isn't that if we don't have the sacrifice that precedes the praise. And so it's very important. And it's also interesting, I'll just I've already alluded to it, but Jesus went without the camp for us. And so we ought to go without the camp. In other words, following on that, these verses come that we need to be willing to identify with Christ and watch the Lord take care of us. I've given this illustration several times. I don't think I've done it recently. I might have. But I watched as a younger boy, as we were in Durango, Colorado, a man that was in the church right from the beginning when we came there. He was a fairly worldly, successful oil man, and he attended and so forth. But in the first few months of my dad's preaching, which caused quite a stir in that church, a revival began to break out, and one of the men that was transformed was this man. And he came to my father, and he had a very lucrative job in the oil industry at that time. And he told my father, he said, I'm going to have to quit my job. My dad was sort of horrified because, you know, he's all in this enthusiasm about serving the Lord. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, I am required to go into bars and lounges to do business. I asked out of it. They would not let me out of it. So therefore, I have quit my job. And at that time, I mean, it was lucrative. For a little while, he didn't, it's tough. He was used to making a lot of money. So he started a little company, oil company, which in about 4 or 5 years turned into a $1 billion company. And what was so exciting about that company came about because he took a stand with his Savior. And he was able to bless people all over the country. He didn't keep much of it. Many, many works of God have been hugely blessed by his sacrifice. And he kept sacrificing, just giving it. Why? Because God had given it to him. But that affected me. He sacrificed, and then he was able to praise God for his material blessing that came because of his sacrifice, and he was able to manage his material blessing because it all had come from God. See, no matter where we are in life, our whole life should be pointing to the fact that giving everything to the Lord, God will work and allow us to be a steward of whatever he does for us. And it was a tremendous and still is a tremendous testimony. And so it is a constant willingness to put the Lord first. And so it should be a regular thing. Well, let me just finish this up. What is the product then of our praise? Let me read verse 15 again. By him or through him, through his power, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name because we have sacrificed. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So if we are praising the Lord and that is our focus, then what is going to happen to our life? If our life is truly a life of sacrificial praise, then our life isn't going to be about ourselves. A person who is a constant praise to the Lord is a person who is not living for themselves, and so therefore they are doing good things, which means benevolent acts toward other people, treating them with the goodness of God, gracing them, and communicating, which has the idea of giving financially and having fellowship with the needs of others. Isn't that an interesting application there, or a result? And if you look at the last part of verse 16, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So that is all tied together. So here's the great proof that you really have the sacrifice of your lips. is that you're freed from self. And whenever God says do good to that person, meet a need, encourage them, help them, exhort them, spend time with them, you'll do it. And give, you'll do it, because you're free of self. So true thanksgiving this week is freedom from self. It is the ability to love and glorify God and therefore love those that he loves. Sound like the basic commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It gets really basic. So God wants us to thank him, but if we're going to spiritually thank him, like Hebrews chapter 13 says, the only way to really thank him is for us to release the hold on our own life and have truly surrendered to what he wants, so that he is working, he's doing miracles, therefore we can praise him for what he is doing and then be freed from our own selfish motives and just be constantly causing other people to be thankful. That's what the Second Corinthians passage talks about, that the praise of those, of the sacrifice of that church would redound to the glory of God because of the thanksgiving of those people. Let me just finish with this thought in this context here. At Thanksgiving time, how many people are going to thank God for his provision or his encouragement or his instruction because you were the instrument? You see, if you're living a life of sacrifice of praise, then you're going to be sacrificing, which is going to mean people. Wouldn't you love to be the source of other people's thanksgiving? Not to you, may not even know you anything to do with it. And I'm not talking just material things here. I'm talking about really caring and encouraging and teaching and discipling. But for them to thank God for his goodness. And you were the human instrument that God used to meet that need. Think about how many things you're thankful for that human instruments were used to meet your need. Whatever it was, counsel, encouragement, direction, financial help, whatever. In fact, much of what we thank the Lord about has to do with some people walking by faith and doing what is right. And so our ultimate goal ought to be able to give glory to God by all that he's doing because we're trusting him. And a lot of what he causes us to do is going to cause then others to give glory to God because God has met their needs. So what's the ultimate? Glory to God. How much are we giving glory to God? And how much are we causing others to glorify God because God's working through us for them? Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here tonight. This matter of thanksgiving and praise is very important. It's not a light subject. I've really only touched on those verses tonight. But oh, to live a life that causes people to glorify God. By our testimony, or what God has enabled us to do for others so they have a testimony. Oh, how important it is to be living to glorify him. God is ready to do all kinds of things, but it's never for us. It's never for us to be exalted. It's never for us to be seen. It's all about God accomplishing his purpose, and then we're able to see him involved and just be thrilled at how he's met the need, from giving peace during trial to providing to working in someone else's life, whatever it is, just the thrill of the involvement of God. And then those that are involved also give glory to God. If we were to ask the question, how many know that you need to praise the Lord more, every hand would be raised as if I asked how many of us should pray more. But I'd like to ask, how many are burdened here tonight that truly your life can continually be one that is showing forth the blessing and power of God because you're sacrificing your life and there is that sacrifice of praise? In other words, your praise is coming because you gave your life and God was able to work and provide, and that is truly able to honor him because he has been allowed to do supernatural work. And you say, Pastor, tonight, I would love to live with that mentality that I truly am living in a way that I constantly have to praise him because he's intervening and he's working, and I want other people to be thanking God too. And I need to have this as a focus far more than I do, and I'd appreciate your prayer for me tonight. If God's worked in your heart, if you'll just slip your hand up, we certainly want to pray for you in that regard. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Friend, are you here tonight? Really don't have anything when it comes to relationship with God to be thankful for. It all starts with salvation. That's the number one way we thank the Lord, is because he saved us. And if you don't have a testimony of when God saved you, then it's very possible that tonight, probable tonight, that you need to trust the Lord, and God brought you here tonight. If you were to die, and you're not for sure you'd be in eternity with him in heaven, then friend, I want to encourage you to, here at this very important season, to realize to be thankful to God, you've got to start with knowing that you are saved. And you'd say, Pastor, you know, I just don't know for sure. I have an emptiness in my heart. Would you pray for me also? Would you just slip your hand up? We had several lift their hands this morning for prayer. What about you tonight? Is God working in your heart? We'd love to pray for you here tonight. Anyone at all. Now, Lord, I pray you'll work in our hearts. Lord, there's a lot in this passage, but I'm burdened that we are thanking you for supernatural intervention, that we are thrilled about your miraculous work because we are surrendered to you. Lord, we need to be living a life of miracles. And Lord, we want to be touching others so that they glorify God through our testimony and through what you've been able to do in their lives because of us. Now, Lord, would you get a hold of our hearts about this, all these that raise the hand. Lord, you know what needs to be done there. Would this be for each of them a week of genuine thanksgiving? And may we truly praise you with our lips because you are intervening and working in our life. Would we be a testimony of your greatness? Would you give great victory now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.